and traveling. And Lord, we pray for their protection, their refreshment, Lord. And I just pray you be an encouragement to them. Lord, I do pray that as we look at this message this morning on the road to Emmaus, and two, it will just tag on with what Fran said about hearing God and meeting with him and him speaking to us. And I pray you'd be a teacher. I pray that this morning we would hear something different, something that would penetrate our hearts, something that would encourage us in our everyday walk and know the dynamic of the reality of Christ here today with us. So we just thank you in advance. And I pray you anoint me with the Spirit, and I just speak things of the Spirit. And God, just thank you for that. And I pray you open up each person's heart to receive from you and receive from the Spirit. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, turn in your Bible to Luke 24, 13 through 32. You have that. And so we're going to be going through this whole section. And before I read this, I'm going to read the whole section. I'm going to read all 20 verses here about. But I just want to read, because it's just an account, the whole account. And so we want to get the whole picture of what's happening here. But so we had a message, 2 weeks ago, the crucifixion, last week, the resurrection. So we're just coming in, ending up here. Luke, you can see this thing coming, to its conclusion here in the book of Luke about the life of Jesus. And so after the resurrection, we can say just after the crucifixion and the resurrection, we know that Jesus has been crucified. He died. He is placed in a tomb, and Roman guards were set around it. So that's the setting. Now on the third day, the issue is the tomb's empty. The tomb's empty. Jesus has been resurrected, and the disciples are trying to come to grips with the empty tomb. They don't know what's going on. I mean, that's important to know. These guys spent 3 years with Jesus, and this tomb is empty. He told them in advance, but now they see it's empty. They're trying to come to grips with this empty tomb right now. It's like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And so that's the setting. That's the setting. And you got these two guys walking along like, man, can you believe what's happened? That's what they're doing. This. Oh, my gosh, what is this? So I'm going to start here in Luke 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleophas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? We talk about that. Jesus is just the master of conversations. Ask a question. He goes, what things? Who knew exactly what happened? Jesus did, okay? But he wanted to hear them say it. So he says, what things? What things? And they said to him, it's concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests, our religious leaders and rulers, delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Don't miss that point, because we see it and that pops up all over. And that was what clouded the disciples all the way to understanding what Jesus was doing. Before, when they walked with him, after he's resurrected, that's the thing that cut. Because they said, this is the guy that's going to redeem Israel. Because all through the Old Testament, you see, Israel is the center of the world. Israel's where the Messiah comes. Israel will be lifted up in world prominence. And so all of they, like all the Jews, were looking for this Messiah to come to save Israel. But it didn't happen the way they saw it. It didn't happen the way they saw it. And that's what clouded their vision, is he was telling them this thing because it had to go through that prism. They were looking for someone to save Israel. So this is a tremendous misconception at the time, not catching all of what Scripture said, because it does say that the Messiah comes and exalts Israel. But it says a lot of other stuff, and they missed that, even though he told them, all right? So just make a point, because this helps us understand where they're coming from. And it says, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back and saying they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Now look at the shock. When we say he's crucified, this guy's dead. You know, our hopes are dead. Israel's redemption is dead. And they says, oh my gosh. And then they see visions of angels, and the angel says, he's alive. He's alive. So this is a shock. This is the shock of everything. They've been told he's alive. The tomb is empty. And they just couldn't believe that Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Jesus, you know, I just kind of feel like, Jesus, like, you know, I can't take this anymore. I just can't take it anymore. So Jesus said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. See, you missed something. I'm not going to give you something new. You missed something, all right? Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It's all there. Everything was in the Scriptures. Everything had been predicted. Jesus went on and says, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Now, just give you a quick, Isaiah 53 plus Psalms 22 plus a whole other things that said it. He said, wasn't it necessary? Didn't you read the whole book? Wasn't it necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses. This is like, I'm going to start in Genesis. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the Scripture the things concerning himself. Oh, how would you like to be at that Bible study? He started with Moses. He started in Genesis, all the prophets, and he interpreted to them all the Scriptures concerning himself. What is the Scriptures about? It's about him. That's what it's about. And he went and he interpreted to them all the Scriptures about him. I was just like, oh, wow. To hear that. And to me, that was just like unbelievable. What a Bible study. So he explains it, goes through the Scriptures, all of it. I bet those guys were going, well, gosh, I kind of read over that one. I missed that. Is that what that meant? That's how that works together. You know, like, son of a gun. No, he probably didn't say that. But it's like, oh, my gosh. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and Jesus acted as if he's just going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is towards the evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When they sat at a table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. It's Jesus. They recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. He vanished from their sight. And they walked with him, talked with him all the way, and they just vanished from their sight. Now put yourself in that place. You just had the best Bible study you ever had in your life. They come in and talk to us. He breaks bread, and he just vanishes from your sight. It's like, whoa. Whoa, something's changed here. Something's changed here. And so then here's this comment they make, and we're going to spend a lot of time on this, and you've heard this before. Here's the comment they made. Verse 32, and they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? Now, what we've got here, and this is important, right? The whole world has just changed. Now, the whole world doesn't know it's just changed, but the whole world has just changed. Now, everyone's dealing with a resurrected Christ. They're dealing with a resurrected Christ. All the Old Testament, they're looking forward to a Messiah. Forward to it. But now, we have the Messiah, the resurrected Christ. Everything changes. It's God, resurrection. God in his resurrection walking this earth. God in his resurrection doing his power. And he is a redeemed man. So now we're dealing with the resurrected Christ. And we see through Jesus' humanity, he died for our sins. Now think on that. Through his humanity, he died for our sins. In a human body that felt pain and lived just like us, he went to the cross, suffered the punishment, suffered the nails in his hands, suffered hanging there, suffocating, can't breathe. He, in his flesh, he died for our sins. In his flesh, he suffered. He suffered pain, physical pain that we would have felt. Same thing. In his humanity, he died in our place and paid the penalty for our sins. Now, in his deity, his resurrected body, his resurrection, now in his deity, Jesus is going to transform men and women to impact the whole world. Disciples missed it. Oh, he's going to redeem Israel. We're going to have a great country, and we're going to beat the Romans. That's exactly what they thought. That's exactly, as foolish as that may sound, that's exactly what he's going to raise up. We're going to beat the Romans, and we're going to be a world power. No, he missed the point of people. They missed the point of what God was going to do with people. People. And so Jesus, through his resurrection, transformed men and women to impact the world. He told the disciples, they didn't get it, told them, you're going to do greater things than I did. That's what he told them. See? So this is what he's in the business of doing. This scripture gives fundamentals of Jesus' living presence and how he directs his people today. This whole section. It gives fundamentals of Jesus' living presence and how he directs his people today. So let's pay close attention right now. Let's pay close attention because now he's revealing something to it. Acts and New Testament, just pick it up. Acts and New Testament, just pick it up. But he's showing us today and figure how he's going to speak to us and how the living Christ moves in our lives today. He's going to tell us. So we don't function like everybody else. Now, we know how everybody else functions, okay? Somebody wants to be an engineer. You go to school, you be an engineer, and you go stay be an engineer. You work hard, be a good engineer. You go to school to be an engineer, you slough around, you don't do very well, so you don't get a good job, and you slough around work, and so you don't do good. That's how we physically work, you know, like that. But this is something else. Something spiritually happens. Is that when there's something Jesus communicates to us, and so whatever person it is you step in your thing, Jesus within you gives you spiritual power to impact your situation. So God is working spiritually through all his people. He's working through that engineer that goes to college and gets a good job, all right? But it's a spiritual thing that God uses. He wants that person to take into the world. That woman changing diapers with that baby, God wants to work through her in that spiritual power, even while she's changing diapers, to spiritually impact those around her. He's changing things. The resurrection Christ is changing things, and he's doing it through people. He's through two people. And so this is what we see that's happening here. This is what Jesus happens. See, it does talk about the restoration of Israel. It does talk about God, you know, ruling over the whole world. But this happens first. He gets people. He gets people that works through this whole world, that people that have eternal life that will continue for all eternity to work in this kingdom. That's what they missed. And that's what we got. We got this. We got it, all right? And he's telling us here. So we want to look at this. So we see a resurrected Christ, and here it is. Jesus still speaks today. Why? Because he's alive. Amen? So he still speaks today. I'm alive. I'm going to heaven. Me and God talk. I ain't telling you nothing. No, he still speaks today. Now, where I want to start with, I'm going to pick out some things here. The whole section just reads great. But here's where I want to just start off. And I have overhead here. Look at Luke 24:15. And I think this is important. I was just thinking about this as I was going through it. And it says this. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I think this is so very true for the church today. When we gather together and we're talking and discussing the things of God, okay, Jesus draws near. Jesus draws near. Just like there. They're talking like, my gosh, did you see what's going on here? I want to know. And Jesus comes up. He draws near. He drew near to them. So each of us, as we come together and we're discussing the things of God and we're talking about what God is doing and we're praying it together, Jesus draws near. Jesus draws near. See, and so it's very important for us. We need to reason together. You know, that makes our idea about our home groups look different. We come together, we enjoy each other, but we talk about the things of the Lord and pray, and Jesus draws near. See? We come to Sunday morning worship, it's Sunday, we're at church, we come to church, okay, come in here, and then we're discussing that Jesus draws near. That's what he says. He draws near. And that's the point. And he is looking for us to have that fellowship with him. And when we set our eyes upon him, he draws near. All right. Now, look at this verse. And it just ties into it. Matthew 18:20. We have overhead here. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. There am I among them. Same thing. They gather together. There am I. You come together. There am I. I'm with you. There's an impact. We think, well, it's just getting together. Well, no. There he is. And so he impacts our discussion, and we think upon him, and then we pray. I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. In fact, it goes so and said in that section, it says, when two or three are gathered together, you pray anything you ask in my name, I'll do it because I'm there. I'm there. I joined in your prayer. I'm there. So here's the reality of the resurrected Christ. Here's the reality of the church. And this is, you know, and I love praise. And I love good praise and stuff. But this reason, like, you don't have to have good praise just because you gather again and discuss him. He goes, I'm there. And Jesus is better than any praise band. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you had a choice, I want to go to the great praise band. I want to go just listen to Jesus. I think I'll just go listen to Jesus, you know, because he's better than any praise band. But you see what I'm saying? God has anointed praise and given it to us. I'm not saying that. But it gets us to thinking. It gets us to thinking. Now, with that, as we think through that, let's process it, because the things are different. With the resurrected Christ, it's different, folks. It's different. And it's different for us as believers, not the world, for us as believers, all right? Now, here we come to this verse and look at it, which I've shared a multitude of times before because it had such an impact on me. But what we have here is the present reality, how Jesus continues today. This is not a one-time event. This is a lesson for today. Look at Luke 24:32. It's not a one-time event. This is not history. This is a continuing reality. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures? He goes, oh, you foolish people. He says, let me say, I start with Genesis, and I'm going to tell you all about me. He opened the scriptures. He says, oh, as he opened the scriptures, did our hearts burn with it? Then he said, oh, man, that's good. I took notes. You know, I took notes. I got a notebook, you know, and I took notes, and that makes sense, and I crossed the T's. No, their hearts burned within them. Something happened. Jesus walked with them and spoke, and something happened to their hearts. It burned. Spiritually, something happened. They said, oh, man, this is something else. What? Something happened. See? Something happened. And that's what these guys are saying. That's what these guys are saying. Now, I want you to think about this. The Bible is the very breathed out word of God. I mean, it says it. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible is the breathed out word of God. And like anything else, we can read it and intellectually evaluate it. Do an outline, you know, underline things, draw circles. And I do it all the time. You know, it's like that. You know. And so you intellectually understand it. You can do that. In fact, the world does that. The world does it all the time. Lost people study the Bible and intellectually do it and then tell us, well, see, you don't get this. This is wrong. This is not that, you know. They do it, all right? So, we God tells us to study to show ourselves approved. However, with the risen Christ, the Bible comes alive. I can't tell you how many people I've taught, well, I've read the Bible, I can't get nothing out of it. It's nothing. It says nothing. They come to know Jesus. You know, they come to know Jesus, accept Jesus as a Christ. They love Christ. They read the Bible. Say, oh, my gosh, you wouldn't believe what it's saying. What happened? The Bible's the Bible. But they received Christ, and all of a sudden, it became alive. It became alive. They read it, and it burns in their heart. It's alive. It's God speaking. Say, oh, my gosh. I've had so many times, and I love it when it happens. Can you believe what? Then they come there. Can you believe what this says? Have you ever read this? Look at what this says. I said, isn't that something? I thought, yes, amen. I just leave it there. I mean, I read the Bible 50 times. I have, cover to cover. Now, I'm not bright, but it's not. But what happened to them? All of a sudden, they're alive. And I said, that's wonderful, because they never saw it. They never saw it. See? So with Jesus, resurrected Christ, the Word comes alive. Now, we read the Bible with our minds, but the living Christ. Now, listen to this. If you just take notes. So what we have here, we read the Bible with our mind. Okay? And the Bible says, read it. I mean, it does. Actually says, read it. Okay? So we read it with our mind. But here's the church, believers. We read it with our mind. But the living Christ opens our heart. The living Christ opens our heart. The living Christ, when we're reading, opens our heart. It burns within us. It prompts us. It gives us checks. It stirs our hearts in profound ways. That's what happens. And it's just that. Have you ever read the Bible? Reading through, and you read something, it just comes out like bold print. It's like, boom! Well, that's interesting. What is that? Look at that. Or you read through the Bible, and your heart just jerks. You do something. Or it just prompts. Or you go, that's convicting. I mean, you just get convicted by yourself. You know, ooh, that's convicting. You know, or something, and there's just a movement when you read it, okay? What is that? That's Christ speaking to you. That's Christ speaking. What did these guys say? Didn't our hearts burn within us? Is he opened the scriptures? I mean, they read it. They ain't getting nothing out of it. But when he said it, they got a lot out of it. So as believers, we're looking in the Holy Spirit. He's saying it, and we're starting to see that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's stirring in my heart. Now, I want to share something with you. So, okay, I opened up the Word, and gosh, I just read it, and not anything jumped out particular. That's okay, you know. Or, you know, gosh, I read that, and something. But if you read it continually, it will happen. And you read a paragraph, whole page, and you say, and there'll just be one line jump out. There'll be one word jump out. But you had to read the whole page, and that one word, and you say, oh my gosh, what is that? See, what's Jesus speaking to you? He's stirring. He's bringing it to life to you. He's bringing it to life. Amen? You see what this is? Now, I want to share something. As I shared before. So we don't just read it anymore. Jesus speaks specifically to us. Now, I shared with the guy that had an influence on my life, Bill Wright, and, you know, how brilliant he was and stuff like that. He said, just read the Bible. He says, and God will speak to you. He says, God will speak to you. And he kept telling me that. And he kept, and I've shared this before, he kept telling me. And I go, how? Well, you know, how? And he frustrated. I mean, he's just frustrated. He goes, look at this. He turned to this verse. This is how. And I read that and I thought, oh my gosh. It dawned on me, and it's like, Lord had been speaking to me for years. I mean, I remember I have things written down where the Lord just burned in my heart or just came off the page. I said, well, I don't, something. And I'd write it. I don't know what in the world I was doing. I just write it down, you know. One went back. No, he'd been talking to me all the time. I just didn't know it. I wasn't listening. It's like you tell kids, clean your room. They say, well, that's interesting. Mom said that. I think I'll write it down. Put it in my drawer. Maybe someday I'll figure out what she meant. That's what I was doing. And all of a sudden I went back in the drawer and, oh my gosh, he's been telling me all sorts of stuff. I didn't know it. See? So he will speak. It's like open your ears and read the word, and he's speaking to you. And so Bill Wright says, see this verse? Yeah, I says, read the Bible. And this is what he said. He said, read the Bible until something burns in your heart. Until something stirs. Until something props up. And he said, I don't ever go out of the house until he tells me something. Wow. Now, if I did that, I'd probably never leave the house. You know, sometimes it just takes longer for me to hear stuff. But the point, but you understand what the point is. But it's just driving home the point that God specifically speaks to us, and we're not left alone in this crazy world. God will speak to us, which is exactly what Fran said. Now, I didn't run this past Fran. I didn't tell her what I was speaking on, but that's exactly what she said. See, but all she was doing is she just read the word, and that's what happened. So that's, if you just read the words, that is what happens. You see what I'm saying? So that's why it's important to know that. Now, so God will speak to us. Now, I'm going to share a verse with you. And, I mean, this is a verse. I just share it because I wouldn't say this by myself. But I'm going to read the verse and say, God said this, and so we can process it. I want you to look at this verse. This is a whole thing about how God speaks to us. Look at 1 John 2:20. Have an overhead here. 1 John 2:20. Now listen to what this says. I mean, I read this thing. I just skim over it. And I said, that's a cool verse. And you just go up. And then it's like one day Jesus said, oh, foolish one, read it. I'm talking to you. Okay. 1 John 2:20. But you have the anointing by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Now, what does that mean? You've been anointed by the Holy One. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have Christ in you. That's the anointed one. In fact, anointed, like, means Christ, means anointed one, you know. So you've been anointed by the Holy One. Who's been anointed by the Holy One? Believers. You've been anointed by the whole bunch of you. The whole bunch of you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Now, there's one version that says you have all knowledge. I thought, well, okay, you can put the all wherever you want to. You know, it's like, so you all have knowledge. Okay, why do we have knowledge? Because we have the anointing of the Holy One. We have Christ, and Christ knows everything. Christ has all knowledge, and he speaks to us. Therefore, we have knowledge. Amen? That's how we have knowledge. Because we have, based on this verse, we have knowledge because we've been anointed by the Holy One, and that Holy One will speak to us, prompt us, lead us, teach us. We have knowledge because of him. Not because we're smart. Not because we're a good engineer. Not because we're a good doctor. Because spiritually, God speaks to us. He speaks to the engineer, the doctor, and the lady changing diapers, or the guy changing the diapers. He speaks. See? So we have all been anointed by the Holy One. And like once you have all knowledge. And see, all knowledge is not bad. Because if you have Christ in you, how much does he know? Everything. So you got all knowledge. You know, so just tune in. You know, I'll tell you what's going on here. So what this is telling us at the very beginning, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Now, in 1 John, here's the next verse. Not next, seven verses down. We have 1 John 2:27. Now, listen to what this says. Same context. Same context. Think these guys walking to road to Emmaus. Jesus talking to him. He's opened up the scriptures. Man, did our heart burn with, oh my gosh, he's talking to us. Hearts burned. I mean, he just opened up the scriptures. He said, here's the scripture. They read it. They got nothing. Jesus talked to them. Their heart burned. See, same thing today. Same thing today. 1 John 2:27. But that anointing you received, one he just talked about in verse 20, but the anointing that you received from him, from Jesus, abides in you, lives in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. I always hate to read this verse. You know, I do. They say, what are you doing up there? And what they, it just says we don't need you, you know. He says, you have the anointing from the Holy One. You don't have need for anyone to teach you. Why would he say that? Because you have all knowledge. What do you mean? You have all knowledge. You don't need anybody to teach you. You don't need anybody to teach you. Because when you get in those situations, think what Fran said. When you get into those situations, then God showed me. I got in a different situation, and then God showed me. And I came in, then God showed me. She just spent time. She spent time. She spent time. And then God kept showing. God kept showing like that. She needs somebody outside to tell her. And if she is like me, if somebody outside told me, I probably wouldn't do it. But God told me. God told me. And then you start holding on to the words of God. You don't need somebody to teach you because you have the anointing from the Holy. Well, I mean, we're going to stand before God. Says, why'd you do it? God, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. I mean, everything's a big mess. And I mean, I don't know. You should have been there. You know. No, he goes, no, you can't. I'm there. You don't need somebody to come and tell you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you. Now, caveat. Of course we have teachers and learn from them. The Bible says so. In fact, it says learn from your teachers. Listen to your teachers. You know, and he says in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom. That's a method of listening to God. So it's not throwing out teachers, but what the point is making, we're running around all over the place with a chicken, like a chicken with their heads cut off, looking for answers here and here. Maybe they said it here and here. And God says, no, you have the answer. You have the answer with me. Go to the Word and you have your answer. Don't be just going to and fro. You have it. And it's here in the Word of God. It's here. You have it. Read it. Now, do you understand what Bill Wright said about what he said? I don't leave the house until God says something to me. Like I said, I'm working on that. I'm working on that. You know, like I said, there's a couple of weeks I'd probably never leave the house. You know what I mean? But so I'm working on it, you know, to understand, to grow in that area, to grow in that area. Now, so hopefully I'm challenging you to read the Word, and it's alive. Christ is speaking to us. He's coming alongside. He's speaking to us. We have the inspired Word of God. He's interpreting it because he interprets it. It burns within them. Those guys he talked to on the road to Emmaus, they had the Word. I bet you they read it. But when Jesus told them what it said, oh man, it's burning when Jesus. See, we read it, we're not getting anything. But when Jesus speaks to us, when we read it, it's burning. And we say, oh my God, he's telling us something. Lord Jesus, see. Now, here's something else. And there's a lot of verses we go through, but here's one I want us to touch on to drive home this point, to drive home this point of the speaking presence of Christ all the time, all the time. So look at this one example here. Colossians 3:15 says this. Paul says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Now, I read that and I thought, okay, let the peace, just be peaceful. The whole world's going to hell in the handbasket. Just be peaceful. Can't pay the rent. Just be peaceful. You know, that's kind of how I read that. But that's not what it says. That's not what it says at all. You need to be peaceful and trust the Lord. But this verse, it's saying something different. It says, let the peace of God rule. Rule in your hearts. And that word rule, I mean, the English word doesn't even come close to interpret what that word means. Now, all the Bibles have rule. You can look it up. You know, they have rule. But the word rule there, I want you to look at this. It's, again, rule in your heart. Rule means to act as an umpire, to arbitrate or decide. Let the peace of God act as an umpire in your heart. Let the peace of God arbitrate in your heart. Let the peace of God decide in your heart. That's what it's saying. See? So, it's like this. Let the peace of God call balls and strikes. Let the peace of God call balls and strikes. How many times have you, I don't care, Christians across the board, how many times have you heard Christians say, "Oh, I have a peace about that"? That's legitimate. That is flat legitimate. You're at peace with God. It's like, "Oh, I have a peace." See, God just spoke. You have a peace. How many times you've heard somebody say, "I wanted to do that, and I just have a check." Or, "I went and did it, and I had a check. I shouldn't have done it. You know, I just had a check." That's God speaking to you. See, we start paying attention to those things. Oh, that's what the, whoa, I have a check. I'm going to really look into this. Because God's telling me something. He's speaking to me. See, he's speaking to, so when you go in and think, okay, you're praying, you're reading the word, and say, "I have a peace about that. I have a peace about that." And so you go based on the scripture, and you walk through. Or I have a check, say, "You know, we better pray more about this. I don't know, I'm not feeling good about this. Let's pray about this, because I'm not released." That's what it is. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, here's the whole thing. I died my eyes, and here's the contract. Everything's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. Ask anybody. And you go, "I got a check. I got a check." And back out. Because there's something spiritual going on. Contract's just fine, but there's something spiritual going on. God's telling you what's spiritually going on. Amen? See, this is alive. This is not, the Bible is not dead letters on the page. It's alive. The Bible is not like Reader's Digest. It's not. It's not like Sports Illustrated. It's alive. See, it's alive. And so it's working through us. So we understand that. Now, so here's, and so we see these, and again, there's other things. It says, be led for the Spirit. You're not under the law. I'm not under the law. Well, I'm just going to go crazy. No, you're led by the Spirit. God's telling you all the time. I don't need these rules because God's telling me all the time, which will be consistent with all the law, but he's telling me. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. See, oppression is under the law. Freedom is under the Spirit. You see what I'm saying? It's because we have a resurrected Christ. And we haven't touched on, we'll touch the next couple of weeks about the Holy Spirit living with us, this element of Christ within us, the reality of Christ within us. But let me just kind of round it up with this one. And here, Jesus said the same thing. We'll go back to the book of John, John 14:26. Jesus said the same. He told these guys. He told them everything. And they made little notes and put it in their drawer and just, "Hey, that's cool." You know, I mean, they didn't. He told them. But look what he says in John 4:26. He said, "Now I'm telling you guys, I'm leaving. Okay. And he never understood. He said, "Let me tell you something. I'm leaving, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. All that I have said to who? To you. Some of us, you know, he can't bring to remembrance nothing because we ain't ever read nothing. You know? Oh, that's news to me. You've got to read it to remember it, you know. And he will bring to remembrance. He will bring to remembrance. How many of you have just shared the gospel with someone or done something, and you go, and a verse just comes up, ka-whoomp, and you share it with somebody, you know? And you go, man, I had forgotten I even knew that verse. You know, I hadn't thought of that verse in years. How did I remember that? Just want to let you know, you didn't. The Holy Spirit, who is more interested in that person than you are, brought it to mind. Hey, buddy, click. Oh, by the way, well, that's a cool thought. You see what I'm saying? He speaks today. And this is what Jesus said. He says, I'll teach you all things. Remember the other verse in 1 John? You have all knowledge. Why? Because I got it, and I'm going to tell you. Everyone, you need it, I'm going to tell you. But somebody asked me, I don't know what they need. Well, you don't need to know what they need to know. I'll tell you what you need to know. See? All knowledge is what we need to know in our situation. All right. The resurrected Christ brings the scriptures to life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hope you're challenged by that. Think about it. Read it. And here's a word for all the people that don't know Jesus. All the people that around your circle don't know Jesus. This is the verse you share with them. This is the verse. You know, well, God speaks to you. This guy's loony bins. You know, they'll know. This is the verse you share with them. And until they get that verse, they can't understand nothing about spiritual things. They're smart as well, but they can't understand spiritual things until they get this verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And until they get that there's a resurrected Christ that gives them eternal life, they cannot comprehend one spiritual thing. You just come back to this verse. Come back to this verse. If they grasp this, and all of a sudden they get real smart. All of a sudden it's like, oh, I didn't know that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came in, and he knows all things, and he starts telling them stuff. And the Holy Spirit's smarter than we are. And it tells stuff that they need to know. So this is the only verse you get to share with them. Share with them. You see what I'm saying? They do not have the capacity to grasp spiritual things. They're smart. I grab philosophy. No, let me tell you what Buddha did. Let me tell you what Muhammad did. Let me tell you what so-and-so did. Let me tell you what somebody did. And I'm saying, who gives a flip? You know, like that. Now, you don't say that. That really irritates people. But that's what I think. You know, it's like, I don't know what he wants to think. You know, because once you know Christ, then it's like, oh, that's what Jesus thinks. And he was smarter than all those guys. When we stand, let's pray. I pray. Let's stand, we'll just pray. Closing prayer. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your good. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for Fran. I thank you for how you worked in her life, and she shared her testimony with us, Lord. But as she shared her testimony with us, we all have a testimony. Every one of us have a testimony. Every one of us has been spoken to. Every one of us has been touched. And all of God says, listen to me. I'm alive and I'm speaking to you today in your situation. He is in your situation. And so your situation is not hopeless because he is in the situation. What did friends say? Don't quit. Don't give up. So, Lord, I give you thanks. I thank you for your word. I thank you for each person here. And, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, we're so, you know, I'll speak for myself. Lord, I'm just so disconnected from you in so many ways and not hearing you the way I should. I complain more than I should, Lord. And I just pray, God, I just humble myself before you. You speak to me, Lord, and I want to do what you say. I want to obey you, Lord. And you're above all things, and all things are sifted through your hands. I want to trust in you and see you do mighty work. And I pray for each person here. I pray for each person here that you touch them in a mighty way. They hear you in a mighty way. And I want to pray right now that each person, I don't want anybody here. Now, I'm serious. I don't want anybody here to commit to read the Bible an hour a day. I don't want anybody here to commit the Bible to read the Bible 30 minutes a day. I don't want anybody here to commit the Bible to read 15 minutes a day. But I like everyone here to commit to read the Bible at least 5 minutes a day. Think what Jesus could get across in 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. If you read 10, that's great. But just commit before the Lord. I just read 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day, Jesus speaking to me. And just see what he teaches us over the years. God, I give thanks to you. I praise you. Oh, what a beautiful place we are in. We are loved by you. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. There's some refreshments in back.